If you will be odiously, damnably, outrageously jealous, my soul, you will be very miserable. Horrid miserable. Damnable miserable.
Mr. Mantalini is at his breakfast.
I am miserable.
As is Madame Mantalini, and in no good mood either.
Do not put itself out of humour. It is a pretty bewitching little damned countenance, and it should not be out of humour, for it spoils its loveliness and makes it cross and gloomy like a frightful, naughty, damned hobgoblin.
I am not to be brought round in that way always.
But why are we overhearing this breakfast table disagreement?
It shall be brought round any way it likes best, and not brought round if it likes it better.
Because we accompany Miss Kate Nickleby.
It is very easy to talk.
Not so easy when one is eating an egg. For the yolk runs down my waistcoat, and yolk and egg don't match any waistcoat. Except a yellow waistcoat.
You were flirting with that hussy all night.
No.
Kate has already experienced Mr. Mantalini's wandering eye upon the interview for her new position. One reason, amongst many, that she set off this morning with a heavy heart for the West End establishment of Madame Mantalini. She's startled to find herself an unwilling audience to a domestic drama that does not bode well for the future.
No, 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 my life.
I had my eye upon you all the time.
Bless the little winkling, twinkling eye. It was on me all the time.
I say it again. You ought not to waltz with anyone except your own wife. I will not bear it, Mantalini. If I take poison first.
She will not take poison and have horrid pains, will she? Will she? She won't, because she's got a damned fine husband who could have married two countesses.
Two? You told me one.
One? Two. Oh. And how's the cash situation? My existence is dual. How much have we in hand?
Very little.
We must get some more discount out of old Nickleby.
You can't need more already.
Expense, dear one. Always expense.
I will see, my dear, what my cash box holds. dear me! Charles! How come you here?
Child, damn it. How do you do?
I have been waiting some time, Mum. I think the man must have forgotten I was here.
I will twist his damn nose off for leaving such a very pretty creature all alone by herself.
Mantalini, you forget yourself.
I don't forget you, my love. Never have. Never can.
Appeased by this compliment, Madame takes some bills from the cash box and hands them to Mr. Mantalini.
My life. My love.
And takes Kate out of the room, leaving the gentleman full length upon the sofa with his heels in the air and a newspaper in his hand. They descend some stairs and enter a large, dull, airless room where a number of young women are engaged in the many processes known only to those who are cunning in the art of millinery and dressmaking.
Miss Knob! Miss Knob!
Oh, she looks dusty, don't she, Matty?
Not that strong, either.
Still, wanted last year's to burn.
A short, bustling, overdressed lady presents herself, and all the young ladies suspend their operations to look and discuss Miss Nickleby's dress, make, texture, and fashion. with as good breeding as will be displayed in the best society.
This is the young lady I spoke to you about. Miss Nickleby? I think for the present it will be better for Miss Nickleby to come into the showroom with you, Miss Knag, and help customers with their fittings. She will not be of much use down here yet. And her appearance
is very well with mine.
Oh, madam, you have so much taste in these matters that I say often I say to you, young lady...
Oh, she does, ever so often.
I do not know where you can have got it from. Miss Nickleby and I are quite a pair. As I often say to the young ladies, Madame Mantalini is most remarkable. So clever and yet so good-natured. You take care that Miss Nickleby understands her R's and so forth. You'll not forget my directions, Miss Knog.
To forget one word of Madame Mantalini's would be impossible.
Very well. Miss Nickleby, I will see you later.
Charming creature, isn't she, Miss Nickleby?
I have seen very little of her. I hardly know her yet.
But have you seen Mr. Mantalini?
Yes, I've met him twice.
Isn't he a charming creature?
He, didn't strike me really as being so.
But he's a very fine gentleman, ain't he, Bella?
Oh, my goodness gracious mercies. Where's your taste? Such a fine, tall, full-whiskered, dashing, gentlemanly man with such teeth and hair and... Well, now, you do astonish me.
I dare say I'm very foolish, but my opinion hardly matters to him or to anyone. So I don't see I shall change it.
Oh, he drives very beautiful horses.
I dare say. But I've never seen them.
Oh, if you ain't seen it,
saw them. Saw them. She never saw them. How can you possibly pronounce an opinion upon a gentleman if you don't see him as he turns out altogether? Well, time's a wasting to work, girls.
On one occasion, when some great lady and her daughter arrive for a fitting, Kate is called upon to help. It is unfortunate that her hands are cold. She is nervous. The lady and her daughter are out of temper.
Really, girl, have a care.
Oh, I'm most terribly sorry.
But Kate does not make a success of her first foray and feels this keenly. And yet her very clumsiness wins her a reprieve from one who would have found her expertise hard to swallow.
I find Miss Nickleby a very exceptional young person. It does credit to your discrimination, madam, that you should have found such a very excellent, such a very unassuming young woman to assist in the fitting on.
Beyond putting a very excellent client out of humour yesterday, Miss Nickleby has not done anything remarkable. That I am aware of, at least.
Oh, but you must allow a great deal for inexperience, you know.
And youth?
I think nothing of youth, madam.
For myself, I find Miss Nickleby the most awkward girl I ever saw in my life.
Oh, poor dear thing, it is not her fault. We must cure her of it.
Her Uncle Ralph tells me that she is considered pretty. I, however, find her ordinary.
Well, all I can say, madam, is that I quite love the poor girl, and that if she were twice as ordinary and twice as awkward, I should only be so much the more her friend.
Indeed, Miss Knag does love nothing so much as the ordinary and the awkward. She herself still aims at youth, though she has shot beyond it years ago. And fortunately, Kate continues as awkwardly as she started, and her second day's labour comes to an end.
Oh, dear, dear me.
Why, bless you, Kate. How very awkward you have been all day.
Oh, she has.
Very well, girls. You may all go now.
Ooh. I fear I've got worse, not better at all.
True, but better to know it at first so you can go on. Which way are you walking home, my love?
Towards the East End.
The East End? I wouldn't believe it possible that any respectable young woman could actually live there for 3 days together.
Poor people must live where they can.
Oh, true. I suppose poor people must rest where they may. Now, come along. I shall walk with you.
Oh, you need not trouble yourself, Miss Nag.
I shall be glad of
Miss Nag company. Is not a lady accustomed to being refused, though, as her conversation makes clear to Kate as they walk along, a very large number of rich and handsome gentlemen seem, by accident, to have missed the chance of accepting her hand in marriage. This friendship between Miss Nag and Kate lasts, to the amazement of everyone at Madame Mantalini's establishment, for 3 whole days. But though Miss Nag's consistency is accounted a wonder by her fellow workers, even wonders, in our day and age, are soon shown up for what they are. It happens that a lord, a great and elderly lord, who is to be married to a lovely young lady of no particular family at all, accompanies her to try on a nuptial bonnet ordered a day or two before. Dancing attendance on this great gentleman, Madame Mantalini, Mr. Mantalini, and Miss Nag. The bonnet is no sooner on than...
Oh, charming, my lord.
The lace is just perfection.
Oh, my lord, you wish a word?
It is
My lord, you are indeed a man of exquisite taste. For why stop at one delicious fruit where...
Mantalini, what is my lord saying?
He's saying, my dear...
Speak up, I pray, my heart's joy.
He is saying, my love, why can we not have the pretty young creature to fit as we did the other day, and not this old thing. My lord hates being surrounded by... elderly persons. My love.
Miss Nog. Madam, perhaps you would retire downstairs and send up Miss Nickleby. I beg your pardon, madam. And you need not return.
However, when Kate returns to the workroom, after helping with the fitting and being grotesquely leered at by the aged and great lord, she finds Miss Nag in floods of tears, surrounded by the young ladies.
Why, Miss Nag, whatever is the matter?
Do I deserve to be called elderly?
She don't. No, she certainly don't.
I did not. You slut. You hussy. You impudent. Oh, I hate you. I detest and hate you.
Oh, I saw it all along.
Kate cannot reply. She turns her back and walks proudly to her seat.
I will not cry. I will not let them see me so. I will not.
But later, alone, she cries such bitter tears as would gladden Miss Nag's inmost soul if she could see them fall.
What will become of us now? Oh, Nicholas. Nicholas.
Never think of me.